continue to build our faith. And I was thinking when they crossed over the Jordan, they put the stones there as remembrance. They go back to future generations. You share with your generations, you share with people the things that God has done. They're testimonies and witnesses to Him and who He is. Amen? Amen. And it's not the, like we said, it's not the strength of how I praise the object. Lord, You are the healer, and we rely and we've rested upon You, and You are the great physician. Amen? Amen. So we're grateful for that. Let me share a couple things this morning. I won't keep you too long, but I've been sharing on the parables of the kingdom. I love the kingdom of God. I love talking about the kingdom of God. And I shared, Aaron spoke last week, and if you weren't here, I was very... did you enjoy Aaron last week? Because I really did. And I appreciated her so much, and I have to upload it to our website. I haven't done it yet. And I think it was Bob who told me she had just a way of putting it in a different thing, and there was a real theme of adoption last week. And Kevin actually wore an adopted shirt to church, and she spoke on adoption. I had the foster's real theme of it, and I really appreciated what she shared and the ministry that was in her life. But I want to speak some this morning on the parables of the kingdom and the parable of the mustard seeds. Everyone heard of that before. If you've been walking with the Lord for any length of time, you've heard of the parable of the mustard seed. And I have a few points that I want to give, a few things that I want to give to it. I'm probably going to give you an abbreviated version. But me, when I look at passages like this, even just a couple verses, you can take a couple verses in the Bible, and they're so rich, and you can think, if I taught this or spoke it, you could go in so many different directions, because the Word of God is living and active. It's alive, and it speaks to us today, it speaks to us tomorrow, it speaks to us 10 years from now. I should be pulling this up and saying, wow, I never saw that before. Yeah. And the kingdom of God, Jesus compared the kingdom of God, and just as a quick recap, I've said this many times, kingdom of God, there's always a king. Who's the king? It's Jesus. Okay? King domain, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There's subjects. What are the subjects? There's laws. Go through the scriptures. Look at the Sermon on the Mount. It's called this, the Parables of the Kingdom. Also speaks of how the kingdom of God operates. And Jesus began in Matthew 13 to speak in parables. Parables conceal truth from some who are hardened, and they reveal truth to others who are open. And there was a perspective and an adjustment that they had. And I this isn't my message, but just think about this. The Lord gave a lot of seed parables. It's a seed, something very little, right? And if you think this way, Jesus, at this time in Matthew 13, He wasn't too popular with a lot of people. He had a group with Him of 12. And they had to be thinking, no one's accepting His message. We've forsaken all and followed Him. What's going on? This seems very small. You did this amazing thing, but you did it on the Sabbath, so they want to get rid of you for it. What's going on? And Jesus kind of shifts their perspective and shifts their mentality. And He states that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is like a mustard seed. It's something that can be very small, but there's tremendous potential in a seed, right? There's tremendous potential in a seed. So turn with me real quick to Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 through 32. Matthew 13, verse 31 through 32. He says here, another parable He put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven. Let me just add this. The kingdom, Matthew always speaks of the kingdom of heaven because he's speaking primarily to a Jewish audience. The other gospels say the kingdom of God. There's no difference. The kingdom of God tells you who runs it. The kingdom of heaven tells you where it's from. Okay? You can put them together. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which when a man took and sowed into his field, is indeed the least of all the seeds. But when it's grown, it's greater than all the herbs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest on its branches. Let me give you a quick little backdrop, just real quick. A mustard seed. I looked up a mustard seed yesterday. It's very pungent. Mustard. It causes a reaction, either positive or negative. It can kind of arouse you in some ways. It puts something forward in you. And I was thinking, this isn't my message, but it's just a quick little point. He compares this kingdom of God to not just any seed, but just to a mustard seed. And when I share the gospel, if you want to see this effect, Go share the gospel with someone who is open and hungry. It's going to have a very accepted. Amen. This morning, the three people respond. Why? Because there's a sense of the Lord's presence here. There's an openness here to that. Go into a place sometime where they're closed off and share it, and you can immediately feel in the Spirit. The kingdom of God, the gospel, should cause some type of reaction. It should. Positive, it's going to cause something negative, but it should cause a reaction within our hearts. It should cause a reaction within our lives and the lives of others. Okay?
Amen.
And it's also, it says it's a tree. It says when you took it, it grows up to a tree. A mustard seed, actually, if you look at it, doesn't grow to be a tree. It's only a shrub. And so I think there's two reasons why the Lord said this. One, they would know, okay, a mustard seed is not going to be a tree. It's just going to be a shrub. But Jesus says the mustard seed is going to be a tree. It speaks of unnatural or supernatural growth. The kingdom of God, the seed that He puts within you, does something that transcends what I believe it should do. In my mind, it doesn't make sense that we could pray for Mary's brother-in-law and husband, and then I get a message that doesn't make sense. Rationally speaking, it doesn't make sense. In my mind, I think shrub tree. Kingdom of God says it's a tree, and it grows. Amen? It's something that's supernatural, it's unnatural. There's seeds full of potential within you, and it has more potential than you realize.
Amen.
One more point, and this is what I believe. I think the Lord used tree, or primarily what I believe, because the tree speaks of two things in the Scripture. Okay, it speaks of people, and it also speaks of kingdoms. And I want to read a couple passages in Psalms, just because I love reading the Psalms, and it's good to hear the Scriptures. But Psalms chapter 1, it says this. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree," and it's a tree, "planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaves do not wither, and all he does shall prosper." That's a good verse, and I love that verse. There's one more I'm going to read to you just to read it, because I love it. And it's Psalms chapter 92. It says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar," another tree, "in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in their old age." Let me say this too. Your natural age, I don't take into account in the kingdom of God. Whether I'm naturally young or old, you shall still be bearing fruit. Amen?
Amen.
I can retire in the natural, but I never retire in the kingdom of God. You never retire. My dad retired from his job a couple years ago in the natural, and he's been far more productive in the kingdom of God since he has more time. But he never retired from his walk with God. "So they shall still bear fruit in their old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing." I love that. Trees also speak of kingdoms, and just bear with me as I lay this groundwork. If you remember, Israel spoken of as a vine, as a fruitful vine, an olive tree, a fig tree. And if you read in Daniel chapter 4, when Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, he dreams and he sees his kingdom. When Daniel interprets it, his kingdom is as a tree. And actually it says in Daniel 4 that the birds of the nest found their shelter in his tree to speak of a kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
And so he sows the seed into me, so there's potential, first and foremost, to me as a son and daughter of God, or daughter of God. And it says that his kingdom is continuing to grow, despite what I might think I see in the natural. It continues to bear more and more influence. Amen?
Amen.
It's within me, and it also expands in the earth. It's the mustard seed, okay? And I was thinking this week, there's a man who was really instrumental in my life. He went on to be with the Lord about 10 years ago. And he wrote a book some time ago. It's called The Time of the Messiah. And I got to looking around that and his material, and it spoke to me. I just want to speak real quick on the history of a seed. What is the seed? And how that speaks to us. In the beginning, the history of the seed is, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed." There's two seeds. Okay? "He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And this is what this man of God said. He said, he gave the history of the Bible. He said, from Genesis to Malachi, the seed is coming. Prophesy the seed. Okay, in the Gospels, the seed dies, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. But in Acts, seed lives, right? Okay, if you get to the Hebrews in the Gospels, the seed speaks. You remember in Hebrews it says, God who in former times spoke to us by the prophets has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Amen? And in Revelation, the seed reigns. History of the seed. And throughout Scripture, the enemy can't stop the seed, but he tries to contaminate it. Remember when Moses, when they tried to kill Moses when he was a young baby, they did it to Jesus. Remember Athaliah with Joash, the grandmother tried to kill her son. You look at the sin of abortion today. The seed is within us, and the seed comes from God. Okay, it says in Galatians 3:16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to your seeds as many, but one, and to your seed who is Christ. I'm trying to build something, so just hang with me. Who's the seed? It's Christ. We've been born again, 1 Peter says, of what?
Incorruptible
seed through the living word of God which lives and abides within us forever. In 1 John, it talks about how we shall not keep continuing to sin because what? The seed is within us. So when I'm born again, David, the seed of Christ, who is Christ, puts within you, and you're born again. It's an incorruptible seed. It can't be destroyed. The enemy might try to contaminate it, but it's incorruptible. And within that seed, which is Christ, there's fullness and potential. Amen?
Amen.
One more cool picture in the Bible, in the Song of Solomon, it speaks about the Shulamite as a garden. And within the garden, if you read in Song of Solomon 4, there were nine fruits that grew out of that garden. There's nine fruits of the Spirit in Galatians, right? So as the Lord puts His seed within me, deposits within me, there's potential for me to be more than what I am today.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And there's just a couple of quick little points. First and foremost, this is what the man had in his book, and I give him honor for this. But he was looking at Mary. When Mary was conceived, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, right? She was a virgin. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her. She had what? The divine seed within her. Jesus Christ. And she said, how shall these things be? And let me just say this. The seed to me, first of all, it's a wonder that I can take a little seed and I can sow it. And there's such potential in that seed. And I can't explain it. I can't work for it. I can't do anything. The seed is there. All the fullness and all the potential, it's still there within me, and it's willing to grow and flourish. Just as a praise to God, there's things happening in your life as a son and daughter of God that you can't explain. As there's anything happening in your life that you can't explain since you've been walking with God. There's many, many, many things that have happened in my life because the seed's within me, and I can't explain it, and I wonder at it. Lord, why did you bless me this way? Why did you do this way? Why did this happen? And I say, thank you, Lord, that the seed is within me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That Jesus, that you're in me, you dwell within me. There's something resident within me that will live and it can't die. The seed can't die. Amen?
Amen?
It's full of life and it's full of potential. He who has begun a good work in you shall complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. I heard this one time, and I feel like this is for someone. If you're still fighting, it's a sure sign that you haven't been defeated yet.
Yes.
If you're still fighting, it's a sure sign you haven't been defeated.
Amen.
And oftentimes when I find myself, it's easy to wallow and all this and that. But if there's something in me that says, no, this is not how it's supposed to be. This is not how it should be. What is that? It's the Spirit of God. It's Christ within me. It's the seed that says, no. You were born to flourish. And you keep fighting. Your days aren't over. Your days aren't done. It's a time of wonder that I wonder, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done and who you are. Amen.
Amen.
And my hope's not in my ability. It's in His. It also says this, it grows in its season. Let me read in Mark chapter 4, and this is a parallel passage. It's also a kingdom parable in the seeds. It says this, and don't turn there, just listen. It's Mark chapter 4, verse 26. It says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. I think the Lord gave a lot of seed parables because you cannot corrupt the principle of seed time and harvest.
That's right.
You can't do it. If I plant a seed in a certain time, and let me say this too, as far as us sowing seeds, strike when the iron's hot. If everyone else is reaping and I said, oh, now it's time for me to sow, I can't sow a seed in the time when the stuff doesn't grow. I have to wait for its right season, correct? If I plant something within season, it will grow and produce. I can't take an orange tree and plant it up in Minnesota. There's nothing wrong with the seed, there's nothing wrong with Minnesota, but it doesn't mix, it doesn't combine, okay? And I was thinking this in its season. There's a woman of God who used to minister in my church when I was a little boy, and she had a song that says, God has a season for you, a time when wishes come true. With hope in your heart, keep the Savior in view. There's a reason for every season. God has a season for you. And I was thinking of this. I've tried in my life to jump ahead of the seasons of God before, and it's caused frustration after frustration after frustration after frustration. Yeah. But when I'm operating within his season, when he gets a hold of my heart and says, slow your horses a bit,
yeah,
and he gets a hold of my heart, I found this to be true. I don't just lay down and do nothing, but my actions are effortless.
Mm-hmm.
Doors just open. Things just happen because it's the season. And you remember the story in the Bible, I was thinking of it, and when after Absalom had died, and it was Ahimez, I think it was his name, in 2 Samuel, and he wanted to go share the news of what had happened. And Joab said, you have no news to share. I want to run anyways. And he said again, why would you run? You have no news. He said, I'm going to run anyways. And he ran on ahead of the Cushite. And when he got to King David, he had no news to report. He just said, all is well. And they said, get to the side. Another guy, he came with the news. Sometimes when I run ahead of God, even if he lets me in my stubbornness, I might get to the place where I'm supposed to be growing and reaping and flourishing, and I have nothing there because I stepped out of season. Amen?
Yeah.
How do I know what the seasons of God are? Just trust the Spirit of God live within you, the anointing within you, abide within you, the peace of God rule in your heart, operate and live like that, and go off other counsel too. Amen? The seed also speaks. Let me go back to something. It says first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn. There's also processes in seed time and harvest as well. Amen. And I was reading, and some of you are like Andrew Womack, and I was reading Andrew Womack, and he was sharing this story. He calls it lottery faith. And I'm going to read the story that he shared. He said the student in his Bible school came to him who had never held a job, had been in a mental hospital, and lived on welfare his whole life. When he heard the teaching on prosperity and vision, he started dreaming big, and he had a plan to buy and renovate an old hotel, and the total cost would be over $4 million. It was a grand plan, and I complimented him for the fact that he was dreaming big, but I told him to keep dreaming big, but it might work for someone else, and it's not going to work for you. Why? He says, because this person had never believed God for a dime before, and there had to first be a blade, then an ear, then a full corn. What was he saying? Steward what God has given you. This man who said, I'm going to renovate a $4 million hotel and has never properly managed $100 in his life. That's a principle in the kingdom of God. In Genesis 2, I've shared this before, and it's worth remembering. It says, before the Lord would pour rain, there had to be a man first there to steward the garden. Stewardship. What's the Lord given into your hands to steward? This is wisdom, I'm telling you. I've seen people, they've turned stuff down because it was too little for them.
Yeah.
And I see them now doing nothing.
Right.
Because they couldn't steward the first portion that God had given them. And they wanted to jump ahead to the $4 million hotel without first stewarding and investing the $100.
Yeah.
So I steward. There's things in my heart, God's put in my heart, that I know, I'll be honest with you and I'm honest with God, I'll tell God this. I said, Lord, if I were you, I wouldn't trust me with that right now. I wouldn't give my 16-year-old the keys to a Corvette. Why? Not mature enough. He's never been on the road before.
Right.
I'm going to give him a safe piece of junk. Safe. And I'm going to turn him loose and let him drive for a while. Let his feet wet. Then I'll give him something else. And the Father's like that with us. Okay? There's things in my life, and the Lord says, I want you to first steward this, steward that. A lot of my calling in life, I didn't choose it. I always say, people will ask me, why are you a pastor? And I said, I didn't choose it, it chose me. God chose me for it. And when I was younger, I say this as an example, I stewarded responsibilities that my pastor gave me. And I didn't cut bait and run on it, whether I wanted to do it or not. I didn't know what I was doing at the time, but I was stewarding. I was stewarding. I was stewarding. And the Lord continually increased. I went to Bible school and I was given more responsibility. Why? Because there's a principle, seed time and harvest. And first, before I get the full corn, I start with the head grain. Amen? And I start stewarding the place where God has, and then He's going to trust me with a $4 million hotel. Okay? Why is the Lord speaking seeds? Because there's great principles there. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Two more points and I'm going to be done. Okay? In Genesis 1 it says, Then God said, Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, with seed in them on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. Principle there. What I sow, what I put seed into, I reap back. And there's something to, it's in Proverbs, it says, Death and life is in the power of tongue, and those who love it will eat its what? Its fruit. Speaks of a seed. I said this earlier, but it's true. In your life and in situations, the seeds in you, prophesy the answer. Don't pray the problem.
That's right.
What's the Lord say? When I see something that's out of line, what does the Lord say to this? It's prophetic, perfect. And I say this, Isaiah, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Someone said this and it dawned on me. Think of Isaiah who prophesied Christ hundreds of years before he came. And he died saying, this man's a false prophet. He prophesied something that didn't happen. He's a false prophet. Will we do that to him? But he sees the things in the Spirit and he calls forth the seed. And I sow and also speaks. Let me say this too, and I'm not going to go much into this. Watch how you put your mouth on people. And I have to do that myself. God's very strict. I did it one time recently. And man, I've had to ask God to forgive me so many times and repent so many times. There's a passage in the Scriptures in Ephesians. It talks about, it says, Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. There's something about the seeds in me, and I'm going to speak and prophesy the word of Christ. Amen? Amen? Okay, dokie. Let me wrap up with this. And I think this might be the best thing. In Luke, Mary was overshadowed with the Holy Spirit. She gave birth as a virgin to Christ. Amen? Elizabeth also was as well. Remember, she gave birth to John the Baptist. And what happened when they met? So the baby within her leapt. The baby leapt. And I have this. It says, Whenever we embrace a meaningful covenant, which is prophetic, yet unborn will leap. Let me say this. Whenever we embrace a meaningful covenant, that which is unborn in you will leap. What does that mean? And David, I mean this for you too. Have you ever been around someone in the body of Christ while we're joined together, and I'm overshadowed with the same Holy Spirit, the seeds within me, and I get around them? I'm thinking of one person now. He's in Connecticut. He pastors. And every time I'm around this man, my seed, the baby within me, leaps, so to speak. What happens? Something comes together because we're joined in the Spirit. We've both been overshadowed by the same Holy Spirit, and it draws something out of me. Seed that might be buried and barren, he says, you know what? You're this. You're that. You can do this. And I start speaking and cultivating the seed in someone else. Amen? Because we're called to do that as well. speak and prophesy and cultivate what's going on inside of them. I was reading a Bob Mumford book, and he was sharing about how he was on an airplane after a long weekend of ministry. And he said, the last thing I wanted to do was talk to anyone. I was exhausted. And he said, this young girl came up to me. He said, I didn't want to do it, but the Lord just had me. And he started ministering to her. He said, you used to walk with the Lord years ago, and you've run from him. And she broke down and started crying right next to him. And that seed that had been buried within her, the incorruptible seed that she covered over dirt, had been contaminated. He says, you know what? The seed's within you as well. I'm going to call forth the purpose and the plan of God within you. Amen? I need that sometimes in my life. Amen. Maybe you don't, but I do. There's times in my life I need to be encouraged. There's times in my life when I need someone to call forth the seed of God within me that might be, the enemy might try to be burying it, putting it down in its place, and someone comes up to me and the seed within me, amen, it leaps. And I'm called in a meaningful covenantal community with someone else who can pull the positive and the good out. Amen? Amen. And all ministries, especially, it's seed pushing. It's cultivating seed. I can cultivate seed in others. I can take my wayward, you can take a wayward son and begin to cultivate seed within them. Speak the plans and the purposes of God. I go pray for my kids. I'm going to finish with this. When I lived in Portsmouth, Virginia, we had a driveway. And I've never seen as many weeds in that driveway. I was constantly going out, and I was amazed that all this stuff can grow through this concrete. Yes. Little cracks, it would just grow. And if you can look at people like that sometimes, this is a person with a calling on their life. And all I see is hard rock and concrete. But I know there's a seed down there. I know that the Holy Spirit is within them. At some point in life, they've given their life to God. The seed is what? It's incorruptible. It can't be destroyed. And I can cultivate, and you find that little crack within there.
Amen.
And so I can say that's for my kids. My kids are young, so it's a little different than right now. But if I look and see something within them, there's a seed within them. I think for my godly heritage that I have. I pray for them. I water it with my tears. Amen. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. Speaks of agony, prayer, intercession. I can pray over an issue and it's going to come. So the Lord waters it. I'm called to cultivate. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to wrap up. I'm done. I'm done. Let me just say this. The seed, gospel of the kingdom is compared to a mustard seed. It's pungent. It's small. The growth is unnatural. But when the Lord puts it within you, and He's got something within you, Johnny Appleseed said this. Heard of Johnny Appleseed?
Mm-hmm.
He said, anyone can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed.
Mm-hmm.
That is an amen. Yeah. And so when I look at someone, only God can count the apples that He's put within this man. And there's potential within this man. As he cultivates it, it's going to grow. He's going to look a year from now and say, man, I've grown a lot in a year. How did this happen? I didn't say grow, grow, grow. It just happened because it's designed to do that. And the Lord, help us to see with your eyes. And when I see this, and I see this man, and I see the seed in him, I say, Lord, you've got a tree when all I see is a shrub. And when I look at people in my life, all I see is a shrub. God sees a tree. And the birds of the nest rest their branches on them. And it sprouts up and its influence grows. Amen. Parable of the mustard seed. So, Father, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for what you've done, Lord, for